too many Tic Tacs in the town.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3:38 starting time. Please welcome from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Matthew Wiley. Play away, please.
Hey, podcast world, yours truly, Golflandia 168. That, of course, is how OJ Simpson intros all of his videos, his psychotic videos on Twitter. Hey, Twitter world, yours truly. And then he tells this benign story and just laughs his ass off at the end. He is one psychotic human being. Imagine being his friend. Imagine getting a call from OJ saying to go golf. What do you say? I'm having trouble with my audio ever since I recorded with Ryan, or before I recorded with Ryan, because I hear, and you know how this office is haunted. And in the last little while since people have been back in my office, I haven't had much interaction with this ghost. But in my headphones tonight, there was a noticeable dripping of water and someone just messing around. Like someone was in the room. There's no audio. There's no water dripping. There's no feed anywhere. But I just heard, that. And it just felt like someone whispering. And so that was odd. So maybe Edwin is trying to communicate with me. You got the picks, Edwin? Do you? This week? Bring it. Edwin, make a sound right now if you're here. The ghost. Just make a sound on the audio. Kind of heard something. DraftKings read. Let me get this out of the way so I do not forget it. Are you ready? I have not read this. This is going completely cold. Last week is in the books. Now it's time to review the tape and prepare for this week. There is no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. By the way, this game is horrible. I love Showdown. Love it. PGA Showdown is the ultimate best. NFL Showdown is unwinnable for me. But it makes these games so interesting. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. There are $2 million contests for the Masters coming up. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, catch means more with DraftKings. Pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. If you haven't signed up yet, what are you waiting for? Get in the game. Get off the couch. Download the app, DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now. Use code GOLFLANDIA so for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes. This week, don't miss out on all this week's action. Enter code GOLFLANDIA. Get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. Code GOLFLANDIA. Make it rain at DraftKings. $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. I got through it. Saw an ad this week. This is a very slow week for golf. Light week. Bermuda Championship. No major. Opposite fielding it. It feels kind of weak. But I saw an ad. So I'll get to golf in a second. But I saw an ad this week on Twitter that I really liked. It was for the North Face, the apparel company, and the ad was so well done that I watched it a few times. And what it did was it spoke to not the utility of the product, not the here's the supply side. Here's how good our stuff is. Here's how good we are. Here's how big we are. Here are celebrity influencers. No, it was very 2020 and where marketing should be. It should be more demand side. What does the consumer want from your product and how can we speak to them? Supply, demand side marketing versus supply side. Not how big, how fanciful we are, but here is why. Here is who we are at North Face. Here are the values of our brand. Here is what it represents when you wear it. Nothing to do with the coat, the stitching, the warmth, the cost, who's wearing it. Just here is who we are. Here is what it means when you wear this logo, which ultimately is the rationale and the calculus for anyone who buys any product when they buy it, except for, you know, things that are complete utility like water. But still, I mean, that has brand efficacy. What water am I drinking? But especially with apparel, you're going to buy an Hermes bag? You're going to buy a Maserati, a Ferrari? Why? Are you buying it for the guts? Sure. If there's another label on it, would you buy it for $250,000? No. So I just found that very, very well done by the North Face in terms of how they presented that ad. We know you know our coats are good, but here's what it represents, the brand represents when you wear it. Here's the social equity it has. And speaking of what you are, which they are very good at presenting who they are, here's what you are not coming to golf. I put out a tweet because it was irritating to me prior to the tournament last week. And I was talking about the media and the absolute saturation of content now across major media with betting, which is a good thing. 3 years ago, what I said in the tweet was golf bettors were a laughable disgrace, an utter nuisance. Please get out of the game. Don't talk to our players. Get out of their way. You're all nerds. We remember that narrative. And I said, just wait. Just wait. Just wait until people realize, until this is the content that is holding up ratings on TV. That is holding up your fan base. I mean, anyone going to watch as a fan of the sport, Bears versus Rams, without the edge? Not this next generation. No. Too many other options. And then you fast forward to 2020, and now every piece of content is, click here to find out who our cameraman's grandmother placed plus 350 top 10 to the Zozo Championship for 110 grand. Everything. Everyone's betting. Every single content player on their network, traditional content player, is now talking about wagering. And it's just unnatural because it is... You're either born a gambler, or you're not. You just don't suddenly come into it. Suddenly come into it at the level or fantasy playing that we do. It's truly niche in terms of how much that we analyze, invest, talk about the sports from a fantasy betting standpoint. And so the clickbait charade to me is rather tedious and pathetic. I'm a huge Dottie Pepper fan. Huge Dottie Pepper fan. There is no way you can convince me that she's teasing or parlaying Brendan Todd to win the Bermuda with overs on catches for Jimmy Graham. But that's what they're trying to convince us is happening. So when I initially put said 3 years from now, I can't wait until all this content is going to be integrated with national media. My hope was at the time was that a lot of the people who are clever content creators and who are actually known, credible gambling fantasy content creators who've been grinding up material for $0 for forever would get a shot at making it to that level. But of course not. It's just, let's buy our way to the front of the line. Let's shove betting content through the sausage mill. Just get it out there. We check that box. But unlike North Face, where it's this, with its genuine, you know, storytelling about what their brand represents, this is so disingenuous. And it's irritating to me because I think a lot of people out there who create good content could add value to these networks. And I'm clearly not talking about myself, as I said in this tweet, because I'm neither credible nor good. But there's a lot of people who could use the money and the job and the notoriety. You can't put me on a food show and make people believe I cook or I make flan. You're just not going to do it. I eat seven things. Domino's Pan Pizza is one of them, which I say arguably is the top. I said on Twitter, you think I'm lying, it's a top five pizza in the country, the black box pizza from Domino's. And don't say I have no taste. Legit good. Go eat your deep dish, Chicago. Watch your Bears lose 100-7. So I just feel like it was a lot of effort and content and create and this network of people that watch the content and help build it and help, you know, give it structure and longevity in terms of, you know, this audience. They're kind of just stealing the creative now. And they're doing a terrible job of it. But what do I know? Clickbaiting. Stop doing that, please. All right, let's talk to Ryan. Did I have more to say? I kind of wanted to talk about method acting, but then you start fast forwarding at that point. Just drives me nuts when like guys like Jared Leto who are trying to play the Joker are going to complete method acting. It's got to wear people out who are on the set with him on this Joker movie thing that Jared Leto's doing. Like, dude, just fuck off. It's Chipotle. Just take a break. We don't need you to, you know, be in full makeup laughing. Go away. All right. Let's talk to Ryan, then a quick out, short podcast. We're building up for the Masters. By the way, Ray Floyd, the whole Floyd family is going to be on here, minus the most successful Floyd. But both brothers should be on here. We're going to talk about the Masters. They already have a favorite. Already have a favorite. Retweet this. Retweet this podcast 500 times and I'll tell you who their favorite is. Their favorite, Sergio. All right, let's talk to Ryan. Cash rules everything around me.
Cream, get the money. Tiger Woods, y'all.
All right, first of all, Ryan, you passed the health check for microphone.
Only took a few tries, yes.
Zencaster is great for recording these, and that's what we use. It's never failed in 168 episodes.
Crazy it's been that many.
Masters this week, odds came out. I almost blew it. I almost said it, the Masters was this week.
I wish. Yeah.
But we talked about one guy. What was the stat we saw on Twitter today? That if you took all the best stats over the last 3 years at the Masters, he would, like, in every category, he would be leading the field by three. Something to that effect.
Yeah, from Joe Pita, who does all the strokes gains research for the Masters. But yeah, he mentioned that Bubba was far and away the best when you just you lump in all the strokes gained categories. He is three better than anybody else over the last couple of years at Augusta. And obviously, you know, he's been just crushing it as of late across the board. So
crushing it.
It's going to be a very popular name in a couple of weeks.
He has a certain swagger to him right now too. He looks very confident.
Yeah. And I mean, he's honestly doing it. He's doing it with the irons and the wedges. He's really not gaining most of his shots off the tee. He's obviously still long and he drives it well, but you know, the irons are just dialed in.
I love Bubba, the Masters. Hot yes. Take. This field this week for the Bermuda, only one player traveled, which is extremely rare. Brendan Todd.
Probably only because he's the defending champion, I would imagine.
100% correct. Yes. I don't know if he gets he doesn't. I learned something about appearance fees today. You don't get them, but you get them. It's very unusual. One day I'll talk to you about it. The field is, I mean, Fred Funk's got a sponsorship exempt. They're really grasping for this one. I'm surprised too. I mean, you know, it's a PGA Tour event. There's nothing offsetting it, and it's Bermuda.
Yep.
What's I guess people are just, you know, saving it for next week and let her rip.
Yeah, I think it's a very unique field. And I mean, I think again, with the Masters coming up, players are obviously going to be a lot more careful with their travel and kind of where they go, where they expose themselves to. And I guess the resort in Bermuda is probably not where a lot of them want to go. I'm very interested to see the field for next week too in Houston, because I think it's going to be the same mm-hmm. thing. You know, all those guys like a tune-up before the Masters, but then you have yep. fans and you have other things. I just don't think they're all going to play.
The Shell Houston was always pre-Masters, or always has been for a while, right?
Yeah, the Shell Henley Open, yes.
The Shell Henley Open or the Poulter Open. Poulter won the Houston?
Yeah, he beat Hostler.
Chest bump. But the cost of players traveling around is a lot of money. I mean, that's why they do these events overseas, because they get, you know, fees to mm-hmm. do it. I heard today from someone that a guy like Adam Scott, just his plane, his jet, his private jet allocation a year cost is, you know, multi-millions. And so, you know, these are gigantic enterprises. Like yep. Phil, my God, you know, Cecil was saying that they were playing a course up in Canada, Alberta, designed by Phil. And I mean, these guys are getting millions just for the rights to their name. You wonder how someone like Tiger has any time to even focus on golf. No wonder they regress. They're huge companies. They're bigger than most publicly traded companies.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why a lot of people don't travel for these events that you think, oh, just go and play golf. Well, it's pretty costly. There's no shot tracker this week either. Is that a function of I think it's a function of the fact that these are all shot tracker is carted by vehicle event to event, I believe.
Yeah, they got vans and trucks. Yeah.
But someone had, and that's why I said you can't get to an island in a truck on Twitter today. But you also have it in Hawaii, but I think they have it set up there separately. They'd have to, because it's such an important place to mm-hmm. play. And that's a disadvantage to this week, is that you don't get you're hoping for volunteers to score correctly. And one of the most unusual things we saw on Shot Tracker this week, because you get these random nouns where these players hit the ball mm-hmm. to. I don't think I've seen landscaping. That's kind of rare. We saw bridge. Have we ever seen bridge?
No, bridge was new. Wall is always a good one.
I got to find out whether or not these volunteers have editorial rights as to whether or not they can just type.
I think 100% they have to. Yeah. I mean,
really?
Or maybe there's a drop down menu and these have already been preloaded. Yeah.
All right. That was interesting. By the way, I love Showdown PGA. I just really started playing this weekend mm-hmm. to success, and it's infinitely times better than NFL Showdown, which is unwinnable.
I agree. Yeah. And I think PGA Showdown, especially on Sunday, right, is great, because it depends what contest you're in. You know, you were playing like the big one, and those guys all pretty much know what they're doing. But like, everyone's just playing the leaders every single day. Like, the guy shot 64 yesterday. He's not going to shoot 64 today.
That's right.
It's pretty simple. Like, yeah, I mean, yesterday I thought the two best plays on Sunday were Rory and Xander, just because they were the low owned studs who had pretty good stats. And sure enough, they shot what, like a combined minus 14. So yeah, it's Showdown. It's fun.
But the thing is too, it's, any of these guys who shoot 75 on a Friday, like you said, can shoot 64 the next day, especially the, you know, most often the best players in the world. They'll just self-correct their ball striking. But it comes down, it's pricing, right? I mean, like you said, I mean, yesterday I found that I won because I picked Cantlay only because I thought in that place, I think it was seventh, mm-hmm. going into Sunday, he was 8,900. I thought that was absurd. I mean, you got to look for those nuggets. And, you know, surprisingly, not a lot of people played him. But it's fun because it's changing every second. I mean, there's action every second. And with Showdown NFL, you're dead. You know, in the first play, you're dead.
I mean, yeah, it's just...
Like, David Montgomery's your captain. Good night. Have a great night.
Yeah, these teams are so bad. The Bears are such a fraudulent team.
Yes, they are. So, Showdown is the best. Now, the field this week, let's talk about the course itself. This is the one that Brendan Todd ripped up last year for 24 under, I think it was. He just hammered it. And it is in Bermuda. It's a Robert Trent Jones design. These are from Green Square Golf, by the way. You're going to need some form mm-hmm. this week. So greensquare.golf, all our sheets. Mike Miller and I, our little venture. Every tour, every player, every week of form that you need to know. 6,800 yards, par 71, very short. Rugged coastal track. Here's the key. Half of it is seaside, half of it's parklands. So the wind is the course. The course is primary defense. If it's calm, it's going to be nuts. Rough, average depth Bermuda, fairways, Bermuda, greens, huge. Mike says amphitheaters of Bermuda, bunker protected. So that is what we're looking at this week. If you looked at last year's leaderboard, Todd, not really wise, Hearn, Lebioda, Armour, Brian Gay came out of nowhere. What do they all do well? Putt.
They hit fairways and they putt, yeah.
Lights out. So I will defer to you right now to what you're thinking, and then I'll go into some players that I think have some value on the DraftKings board. I think DraftKings, by the way, has gotten pretty good at pricing, mm-hmm. even events like this. There are a few misses, which I think you could take advantage of, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think there are a few misses, but overall, yeah, the pricing's pretty good. It's pretty tight. I think, look, I mean, anytime these fields are so weak, the ownership gets very concentrated. Like there's going to be one or two guys in the sevens that, you know, are 20-25% owned. I think things will be a little more spread out here at the top. I think one of the first choices people are going to, I don't think people are going to play Brendan Todd. I will say that.
Why price?
Yeah. One, a lot of people,
he'd have to,
yeah,
win.
People don't play the highest price guys that much unless it's, you know, Rom or JT. Two, they don't usually play the defending champion. And three, you know, anyone who is looking at stats, you know, Brendan Todd has been all short game. However, it's kind of what he does, right? So, like, he hasn't really been good tee to green. He's $11,000. He's the highest priced guy here. So, yeah, I think he's going to be pretty low owned. And I think everyone is going to start with one of the next three guys. You know, I think Zalatoris, HV3, and even Doc Redman. I think there's going to be a lot of ownership there. You can technically play two of them if you want to. But I think everyone's really just going to start kind of with one of them and then spread it out in the 9K range. I think what you said makes sense in terms of the players that you want. I think accuracy, ball striking, hitting fairways, making a lot of putts is going to be important. But at these events, these kind of resort courses, you know, the greens are flat. They're pretty small. They're pretty slow. And you can see guys who are traditionally bad putters putt pretty well here. And so, like, you know, I'm not as shy to play guys like Griot and List because they're bad putters. I think all those guys can be successful here.
I think up top Varner will be really popular. Zalatoris perhaps, Doc Redman always. I don't know about Brendan Todd.
Yeah, I mean, you can't play them all. And I mean, people like playing Redmond.
You can play two of them.
Yeah,
like
I think people like playing Redmond. I think people like playing Varner. And I mean, anyone who's running, you know, any kind of recent form model has Zalatoris number one. So,
yeah, he's been absurd. Yeah. So, in that regard, and by the way, I think that from a higher priced, the one that I believe is still undervalued is Stenson at 9.3. He can still get up and smash a field.
His ball striking has been all right, too. Like,
it's been all right.
He's doing just
plus,
fine.
Where did he win? Ah, he won Tigers.
Yeah, the Hero, and he won the Wyndham before that, yeah.
That's right. And he won the Hero popping out of nowhere. So, you know, form really indifferent with Henrik Stenson.
Yeah.
The oddly priced one who is always popular because if you do a sort of fantasy points gained, Denny McCarthy is always at the top. He makes a ton of birdies. He's played well. But 9,500 for Denny McCarthy, it'll still attract a lot of people. I just think it's way out of range.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. You're paying for a guy who needs to gain 3 or 4 strokes putting to pay off.
Like, to me, Andrew Putnam is Denny McCarthy. They're the same people to me. And they priced Andrew Putnam at 6,400.
Yes.
But Putnam had a baby last weekend, and so I'm unlocking him for the
interesting
team. Yes. To me, I think that Wes Bryan may be my favorite play.
I think he's going to be everyone's favorite play. He is definitely going to be. I mean, I think Wes Bryan could be 8,700 here, and you wouldn't bat an eye, right? I think he's about $1,000 too cheap. The form has been good, and it's like, you know, when do people play Wes Bryan on short, windy, coastal Bermuda track? So, I just think he's going to be very popular.
Yes, Brian Stewart, I think fits the mold here. Shortish course, good putter. I believe a good putter in Bermuda. And Brian Gay, even if you want to go really sporty in the low sixes, John Oda.
Now keep going down. Right? You're almost there.
I'm not going to go to him. You can go to him. I think Max Homa is undervalued for a guy who was one on tour and he was a really good golfer at 7.2. I think that's a little insulting for someone like him.
I agree. I think people are going to pick up on that because he is the one brand name down there that seems a little bit too cheap.
Well, the other brand name that's playing well is Tyler McCumber. Off and on playing.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, you know, he had those few really, really good events and then just completely imploded at the Shriners. So it's just a matter of, you know, if people trust him to come back from that.
All right, you talk about your guy. Just go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Ollie is back, and Ollie is 6,200 in a weak field. He has shown some form this summer since the restart. He has 5 top tens, and I think 5 missed cuts or close to it. So he's basically either in the top 10 or he's missing the cut on the Korn Ferry Tour. His last two have been missed cuts. But before that, he went 8th, missed cut, 12th, 10th, missed cut, 7th, 8th, 5th. So it's just a matter of, you know, what is your risk tolerance? I am probably going to stack 2 studs this week if it's, you know, Zalatoris and Varner or something like that. And I think when you do that, if you want to get a decent team with some other good players, you are going to need, you know, a guy down here at the bottom. And I think just in terms of overall pedigree and upside and, you know, a flash of form, like, I will take a chance on him. He plays well in the wind. He hits that low stinger. So, yeah.
I think the winner comes from 5 guys. Not the...
All right.
Brian, Todd, HV3, Stenson, or Zalatoris. I know that sounds, you know, predictable and choppish. Yeah. But there's a lot of disparity in this field. And I think that
I agree. I think, yeah,
like, Harold Varner III is really interesting to me.
You can't bet him at 25-1, though. It's the, you know, like, that's the problem.
Who?
Varner. He's 25-1. I just, you know.
No.
You can't do that.
No, not at all. I'm just talking about a DK bill.
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, I mean, I think we're pretty much aligned. I mean, the only guys that I bet so far were Stenson, Bryan, and Straka. And again, that's a bad bet. I would not suggest betting Straka, but, you know, he's been playing well.
Why did you say Piercy? What is about Piercy? Just from the iron play?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's, I mean, overall, and again, he's been struggling for the last year or so, but, you know, it was just about a year and a half ago. You know, this guy was in majors and World Golf Championships. You know, he's playing really well. But, yeah, Piercy, when he plays well, you know, he hits a lot of irons very close to the hole, and he makes a lot of birdies. And I think, you know, when you look at that range, I mean, look, Scott Piercy is better than Luke Liss. Scott Piercy is better than Justin Suh. You know, he's a good player. And, like, I don't think he can win in this field, but I would not be surprised to see Piercy in the top five or top 10. And, I mean, yeah, he makes a lot of birdies, which is exactly what I'm looking for this week.
All right. Højgaard's here, too, again.
Yeah, I'd be very interested to see what he does on, you know, a short, windy course. You know, it's not too unlike the courses they've played in Europe, in the UK and Wales that, you know, he's been very good at.
Yep.
But it is still, you know, even though this field sucks, it is still, you know, a jump up in class from Europe.
Yes. Well, speaking of Europe, what is it this week? The Cyprus?
Yeah, new event, new course. So not a lot to go off of. Yep. But like the Bermuda, it is short, coastal, and windy. So
it's Rosner week, right?
You know, it just might be, you know, I mean, this course has to comp a little bit to Mauritius where he almost won. Mm-hmm. It feels pretty similar, but yeah, I mean, my first two bets, and again, not very unique here. They were Ben Coley's first two bets as well, but Schwab and Rosner, I just think, I mean, both of those guys, they've just been so close. Schwab very quietly, because, you know, he wasn't playing very well of late. He was number one stroke gain approach last week in Europe. I think Rosner was close to number one tee to green. So two pretty easy bets for me.
Yes. Shinholt.
Yep.
Armitage.
Yeah. I mean, Armitage is, he seems like the best player on the board, but again, you know, he was 35-1, which for someone like that, who's never won, just seemed a little bit crazy. But yeah, I mean, all those guys who continue to play well, you know, him, Cantor, Will Besseling, Adrian Morong, actually he's a little bit deeper, so that one might be a bet. He's still about 80-1.
Tell me about Caldwell.
Yeah, Caldwell's been good. My favorite bet of the week was Louis de Jager, 140-1. He was in the top five ball striking last week, makes a heck of a lot of birdies, and I just think that price is just way too long for him. But this is actually a sneaky good field. You know, I mean, you look at it, you have Joost and Sullivan and Dietrich and Horsfield and Hautong. Yeah, it's a pretty solid field up there.
You know who's someone you look at a couple of weeks before them? I don't even, he may not be in the field. He should be. Is Lee Hautong in the Masters field? Did he make World Top
15? I mean, he was there last year, but, you know, probably not this year.
I don't know. Okay. I always look at him for a dark horse, like Peters used to be when he used to go. I just look for him as a master.
Well, yeah, it's these guys who just make so many birdies that it doesn't matter where you put them. Like, he could shoot a 63 anywhere.
He is exceptionally good, but can be exceptionally bad. So I always look to see how he performs leading up into the Masters. What was the one tournament that always predicted the Masters? Well, always, but for 3 years,
yeah.
Omega Dubai.
Yeah, the Omega, which he won. Or he beat Rory.
Yes. All right. So I'm going to say Bryan and Todd. I know that sounds pretty, like I said, predictable, but and then your guy Rosner, right?
I like it. I like it a lot. I will. I'm probably going to find a way to get some money onto Zalatoris. I don't know how, but I would say Zalatoris and Straka. And then, yeah, Schwab and Rosner. Pretty easy.
All right, man.
Talk to you soon. Good luck this week. It's almost Masters time. We're close.
Yes.
All right. See you.
Finally, wanted to mention someone on my Twitter account was DMing me periodically about a stock, BCLI. I'm not endorsing it, BCLI. I think it's Brain Cell Therapeutics. Brainstorm Cell Therapeutics. He kept asking me about it and kept looking at it. Took a pretty big price dump, but what doesn't in biotech? And I later found out that he told me actually on the weekend that he was diagnosed with ALS. And I said, why didn't you tell me? I guess this therapy he's very excited about because it's revolutionary for his disease state. So I felt so badly because I wasn't, you know, really engaging about the therapy. And so it was, his name's Kevin. And I just wanted to say to Kevin, I told him on DM, I said, if there's anything you need from me, whatever that may be, just let me know. But it's just amazing what you, and he was a firefighter at 9/11. He was at Ground Zero. Sent me a picture of him when he was younger. It's just crazy. It's crazy. And what you take, you know, for granted in life, and then what other people are going through. And I felt terrible because all, you know, he just wanted to talk about this therapy. I mean, a lot of people DM me about stocks, and there's not, you know, but anyway, check out Brainstorm Cell Therapeutics. Evidently, it's going to really change Kevin's life. This week, I don't know, who knows? Brian, I'm a huge Brian stan. I know a lot of people will be, but he's playing fantastic. Fantastic. And then Brian, and of course, Brendan Todd. And why not Rosner and Euro? So feel free to hit me up in the showdowns. Let's go in the country club, folks. You want to do this? Let's tango. Absolutely my new career. Until 169.
From the day.